Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And that is launched out to deep left field. Big fly for Mike Trout. This is ground ball to second base. Rhett Hinkle falls down, picks it up, fires the first. The Angels have no hit. The Seattle Mariners. It's gone. Big fly for Anthony Rendon.
Hey guys, I'm Alex Curry.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
Brendan Marsh.
This is Chris Rodriguez.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am Dan Garcia, joined with, by always,
the curator.
And we are in Halo Haven in our stadium seats, getting ready for this All-Star weekend, or week leading up to the All-Star game and the Home Run Derby, something we'll talk about a little bit later. But I think for first time in a while, I'm like really – I think it's probably the Shohei thing. I'm really
– yeah, I think I'm more excited about this Home Run Derby and All-Star game more than a long time. In a long time, because right. of the representation that our Halos have.
Right. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit last time. Ohtani got voted in as a DH, got voted in by the players and coaches as a pitcher, and then obviously Jared Walsh, deservedly so, got voted in by the players and the coaches as well for first base. So, you know, out of those, and obviously got voted in by the fans, won't be able to play, but, you know, he's still going to have that on his, you know, huge resume whenever he's done playing.
I know.
Yeah, like, another
like he really
notch,
needed
another
it.
Another notch. But, you know. So, but Jared Walsh, I mean, you have to be excited to see him get his first All-Star game after not only the end of last season, but what he's done this season.
And then just looking at his numbers, it's like you couldn't ask more from that guy. The RBI total.
Well, especially because like at the end of last year, everyone was like, well, was that him or was that like a hot month? Like anyone can have a hot month.
Yeah, you have a nice little run, two-month run right there. But showing that he's a legitimate force to be reckoned with, that it was – we're okay without Pujols.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I don't even remember that Pujols was on the Angels sometimes. And, yeah, like, if Walsh did not – if he was not voted in,
that would have like, been
what
like,
the heck?
Yeah.
What do you want this guy to do? Put up 80 RBIs before the break?
Exactly. So, great to see him get in there. And, obviously, his story being, like, what, the 47th, 48th round or 30, sorry, 37th, 38th
high
round.
High 30s, something out ridiculous.
Out of, you know, only 40 rounds total was crazy. So before we get to that All-Star break, obviously the Angels have two more series left. This was the last series at home before the All-Star break against the AL leading. I don't know if we ever would have thought that coming into this season. The AL leading Boston Red Sox. A really good test for the Angels coming in after they got done sweeping Baltimore. And I guess you can naturally be like, okay, well, it's Baltimore. You know, you're supposed to take advantage of it. But with Boston coming in, I think that was a really good test about where this team is right before break.
Yeah, and, you know, anytime, you know, these kind of landmark clubs come into town, whether it's Yankees, Red Sox, even if they're not doing well, it's always a big series.
Yeah.
You always play out for those type of teams. And it's always fun to give it to the Red Sox.
Yeah, so July 5th will start now. July 5th on Monday. Shohei Ohtani pillow giveaway.
Man, I missed out on that thing.
So if
I heard it was mania.
I heard it was like, obviously, we've been to some of those giveaway days where it's packed because of the certain giveaway. And I have a feeling it's like it was like that where, you know, opening day or reopening day was okay. It was whatever from people I've talked to. But I feel like this is the first time where this stadium was packed. You know, Boston's already going to draw a big crowd because there's so many Boston fans pretty much everywhere you go. But you know, the Ohtani giveaway, the Ohtani birth, like all that stuff had to play a factor in it. Dude, and just
like that stadium perfect looked, storm.
Of- that stadium looked the most packed seen it since, I mean, opening day, like 2019, probably.
And then it's kind of crazy because now that even though capacity's increased, giveaways have not increased.
Right.
So you're working, what was the giveaway, like 13,000 or something around like that? Yeah. When typical giveaways, 35,000 plus. So it just becomes even more rare.
Yeah.
And
it showed it on eBay. I think
the people were like $90.
Yeah. The next, that night probably. Yeah.
Take my money.
50, 60, 70 bucks. Exactly. So with that being said, if anyone has one to donate to the rally bus when we get that up and running.
Yep.
Chris will more than willingly take that. So, you know, if you have a 5-year-old that doesn't appreciate it like they should, I'm sure Chris will for sure.
Yeah, either that or I'll find it at the swap meet in about 2 weeks.
There you go. Well, it's Ohtani. It might take a little bit longer than that.
It's kind of crazy because usually the most, you know, the hottest item when it comes to promos, it's always bobbleheads.
Yeah.
It seems like the one that always leads it. Then they throw in all these weird little giveaway hats and things.
Deck of cards.
Yeah, just like things you're not like, eh.
Hip counter.
Yeah. But then all of a sudden, you know, a pillow. I think it was the pop art, like that night, like that 60s kind of Warhol. It was Ohtani.
It was his birthday.
He's
I wonder too, mashing. Because I wonder if they're planning to do like, again, they usually do like a 70s night, an 80s night or weekend or whatever. I wonder if they're planning to do like a 60s weekend last year, but because everything got shut down, they pushed it off. Okay, well, they have all these pillows. Where are we going to give them out? Oh, we plan on Ohtani's birthday. Let's wrap it all together. But the season he's having, it's like you said, it's like a perfect storm. So Monday, May 5th, again, Ohtani's birthday. Boston comes into town. Jose Suarez gets the nod for his first start of the 21 season. I think it's something we both talked about. We're actually really looking forward to this start.
Yeah, we're talking about it like, you know, he's been kind of that long reliever. And, you know,
when 5 years out of the bullpen,
especially his past history as being a starting pitcher has not gone so well.
No, it hasn't. So if you remember his 2020 numbers, I think he only pitched, you know, 3 or 4 times, started well, and he got lit up. It was at the end of the year where it was kind of like, we're going to put him out there because I think
We need an innings.
Yeah. Right. So, but you mentioned what he did out of the bullpen this last year. And I think honestly deserved a spot in the rotation, especially with the struggles of Bundy. If Bundy doesn't struggle, you know, this probably never happens, but you're happy with what Bundy does. But because of his struggles, you have to make some kind of a switch. I think this was the perfect one at this time.
Yeah, who would have thought at the beginning of the year that you're going to be bringing in Suarez to replace Bundy, who you tabbed as your number one pitcher?
Everyone was yelling extension too.
Extension, and yeah, it's exactly. Kind of crazy. You never know. That's why you watch baseball. You got to let the games play out.
Yeah, so in the second inning – he would give up 2 runs and make it 2-0 at the end of the top of the second, or at the top of the second. In the bottom of the second, the Angels would get on the board with a sac fly by Juan Lagares, who just came off that huge walk-off double against Baltimore the day before. So he's still feeling it a little bit. Huge momentum swing, though, is when Luis Rengifo gets robbed of a 2-run home run by Kiki Hernandez, bringing one back over the wall. And I think that was a momentum swing because they had the offense going. They had guys, you know, obviously they had a guy on. Luis is a guy that where you don't expect that guy to kind of deliver, you know, power consistently. But to go up and didn't know this. Boston actually had really good outfield, like statistically have really good outfield. It's like you kind of know the names, but as far as what they bring to the defensive side, I didn't know they're as good as some of their numbers are saying right now. So. Like I mentioned, he gets brought one back. The score would stay the same, 2-1. Like again, that home run makes it 3-2. And at the end of the second, and maybe Suarez kind of settles down a little bit with playing with the lead a little bit more and not so pressed. And that's something I noticed about Suarez too. Like you watch him when he pitched out of the bullpen, he was very let's go tempo wise. Let's go, let's go, let's go. This one he took a while, like noticeably a while on the mound between pitches, and so. Gooby had he mentioned it before. It's like, you know, this is a different guy, but I don't know if that's something that you have to let him work through. If that's something, you know, people were already saying, oh, see, that's why he belongs in the bullpen. I'm like, well, it's different because if he was just doing the same routine and getting lit up like he was or just struggling like the way he was, then yeah. But like he needs to find that comfort zone as far as the tempo and kind of speeding it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's a whole different mindset, as you can imagine, coming out of the bullpen versus being the starter and knowing that you're going to pitch that day. And I don't know. It's a different energy. And the adrenaline that's associated with it. So right. I don't know. That could be part of it.
That could be part of it, trying to calm himself down. But Suarez would be done after three innings of work. Pitch count did get a little bit up there with some long innings. Three innings, like I mentioned, three hits, two earned runs, four walks, which, again, that was very uncharacteristic of him coming into this outing. Like I said, four walks, three strikeouts. You know, last time he was out there, he pitched like 5 1/3 innings on, like, I think less than 60 pitches. Like, he was efficient. And this was the complete opposite of that this outing. And I'm not to a point yet where I'm like, oh, one and done, okay, take him back. But, you know, you're hoping with his next start up in Seattle before the break, you can at least see something that's going to build off of.
Yeah, my question for you is, was he better than Bundy?
He was better than Bundy because Bundy did come in right after Suarez. So it was a kind of a swap of fortune, if you will, because usually it's Bundy, then Suarez. And Suarez usually was good enough to hold it down to let people catch up. Bundy on this opportunity, not so much. But that's something we talked about last time as far as Bundy's going to have his opportunities to show the Angels that he deserves to be back in a starting role, and this is exactly that opportunity we were talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The Angels are pretty bold and kind of no nonsense when it comes down to some of the pitching, starting pitching especially. They're doing some things that you kind of think that they might do, but like Canning being sent down.
Well, I think
to kind of figure it out.
And yeah,
then Bundy, you know, it's kind of inevitable. But like some of these guys, Canning seemed like he was kind of surprised by it. So, yeah, and Joe's letting him know and kind of putting out there, like, you know, whoever's performing the best is going to play. I don't care if you're a veteran. I don't care if you're a name, or anything. So I think that's good.
Yeah, it's something that can shake it up. And, you know, maybe you do put your younger guys in there because obviously those guys are the future. You're talking about some of the pitchers that we have now.
The guys that are going to walk next year.
Bundy, possibly. Quintana, you know, Heaney, Cobb, even though Cobb did really well. But, like, those are the guys that are going to walk. So if you're going to replace them, you're probably going to replace them with some of your younger guys. You got to figure out if those are the guys you can ride with or not. But, like I mentioned, Bundy would come in. He would end up giving up a 2-run home run to Rafael Devers and make the score 4-1 after four innings. And in the fifth, Boston would add one more to make it 5-1 off of Tony Watson, the guy that, again, I don't know. He has streaks, but when he's off, it's just you. I mean,
it's elementary, my dear friend Watson.
Oh, there you go. I need the hat with the two like bills on it.
Like, that was like that. That'd be dope.
That'd be dope. Only if he was pitching better, but no, he probably would be gone at the end of the year. Yeah. Angels would be down 5-1 when they started the comeback when Rahifo scored on a Fletch ground out to make it 5-2. Fletcher picking up some steam as far as at this point of the season. This is a 19-game hitting streak he's on right now. So a guy that was hitting like 230, maybe like 60 games into the season now has really become the Fletcher of the past that people have.
Vintage
Fletch.
Even though he's been in the league for like probably 4 years.
Yeah. played like consistently for like three of those years.
Yeah.
But you know,
it's vintage.
Fletch, like old Fletch is back. Even though old Fletch isn't old, but yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. The Boston outfielders would make another great play. Like we mentioned, the Boston outfielders were actually a lot better defensively than I knew. But
dude, you're loving these guys.
I mean, you talk about, they got two outfield assists, and they talked about that was like the 27th and 28th outfield assist by them. The next closest team is like 20.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy because you see these ex Dodgers like a Kike Hernandez, and Kiki was like a little
he was like a utility guy.
He played second, he played first
outfield.
I mean, he did play outfield, but you just do not, I don't see him as an outfielder,
right? You use him like a utility,
middle infield kind of guy.
Yeah, I think, like I mentioned, by left fielder Danny Santana, I don't even know who that was, throws out,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, Jose Iglesias, or Jose Rojas, sorry, at home. Obviously, Rojas. It's not fleetest of foot, but still, there was that time. And then I think, I can't remember if it was this game or the Tuesday game where Stassi, the ball gets to the wall. And every time the ball gets to a wall, you're automatically thinking automatic double.
Unless Albert Pujols is rounding first.
But I mean, there's even times where he gets the second. I mean, the majority of time. And Stassi gets thrown out, I think, by Kike.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Going into second. These guys are definitely not anyone to run with or run against. So that's another part that could have swung the momentum, that extra run there. But the score would still be 3-2 in the bottom of the seventh when Jose Rojas hits a solo shot to kind of make up for it, make it 5-3. Fletcher again with single to put a man on, or no, sorry, in the bottom of the ninth, and they're still down by two. Jose Rojas again will come up and get another RBI. So now he makes it 5-4, I guess kind of making up for his little blunder there. But in the bottom of the ninth, you have some little bit of drama with Fletcher getting on. Now I believe he had two on with Ohtani coming up, down by one. Yeah, Ohtani's the extra base king at this point. So, you know, anything in the gap might score the game-winning run, or he might just put it over the wall to just completely walk it off. So from being down, what was it, like 5-1 to now having an opportunity to walk it off back-to-back days against Boston with Ohtani on his birthday with his pillow in the stands. I mean, you couldn't ask for more drama than that.
Put the Red Sox to sleep.
Right.
With that pillow.
With the that would have been a perfect that would have wrote.
Imagine that meme, like all of a sudden they win and they're just like down.
So again, like I said, Ohtani would come out, but because of the shift, and I think the ball came off his bat with the exit velocity.
Dude, it was like exit velo
of like
114.
It was like something. Yeah, it was like 113.4 or something crazy like that. And because of the shift, I mean, it was still hard enough to hit to where you could have theoretically seen it eat up the guy in like short right field.
Yeah, that's man, I hate this shift stuff. Like that's a game walk off right there, or at least tie. We would have tied it
because it would have got to that outfielder real quick. We should
have tied it right there. Well, when you're playing like I don't know short right field, like you're playing like a rover, of course, right. Man. Like exit velo, you're still gonna get that. And it's like grass or whatever.
Expected batting average for something hit that was like 91.
But it was like, yeah, you're always getting a hit, and then it's just like game over. And
so obviously,
and some looks and words.
Yeah, so obviously, he gets a third out. I mean, you look at the video. Adam Ottavino, the closer for the Red Sox, does say something. I guess it comes out later, and I don't know if he confirmed or denied it later. I don't know, but what people were kind of running with was him saying, quote, happy birthday, bitch, unquote.
Can we bleep that out?
I mean, it's a quote, direct quote. So I'm good. I use it in a journalistic term, so I think I'm good.
Okay, cool.
But like, how do you feel about something like that? Like him just kind of like my point, and someone brought it up to him, it's like, oh, how could he do that? This and that. I'm just like, he was hyped. Big, like I mentioned, huge situation. They came up to the mound to talk to him before the Ohtani at bat. I'm sure, I don't know, maybe they're saying pitch away from him or whatever, and he's probably saying, I want to go at him. Like, I don't know, but you talk to enough pitchers, A, pitchers are weird, B, closers are crazy.
A whole different breed.
Right, exactly. So pitchers in general are weird, closers are crazy. So I would not be surprised if he has to work himself up, get pissed off to like
perform. I can see if he had a history, right?
No one has a history.
You're like, oh, I hate that guy. That guy's a little, you know, punk. And then all of a sudden you go like, you know, you get him and you're like, yeah.
Gotcha.
But, you know, Tawny's basically the friendliest guy in the
world. Right.
You
know? Yeah. That's there. I was like, how are you being mad at Ohtani? Like,
you're getting mad at Ohtani. I don't know about that. And, you know, of course, he's probably the biggest sports star in the world
right now. Yeah.
In the galaxy right now. So he's taking that moment to like people are getting up for Ohtani,
right? And I
everyone's going there, they want to strike the guy out.
Well, and too, as a closer, you're using that as fuel. Like you could be stuck in that moment for a second, and then maybe like after the game, you realize you kind of calm down. I'm like, oh, why did I say that or why did I do that?
Yeah.
But like in that moment, like I don't fault him for it because everyone needs what they need to get up for a huge moment in the game where, like I mentioned before, anything in the gap. It's probably tying the game. It might even win the game, only down by one. So yeah, but I don't.
But people come in and close every day, and there's situations like that, and they're not.
Well, no, but that doesn't work. I'm just saying because it might not work for them that way. But I mean, I don't know. Maybe Adam out of and I, again, I haven't seen enough games of him pitching. I don't know how he reacts after he closes out a game. If he's generally like high energy, like whatever, but. I don't know. I didn't bug me that much just because of the fact that it's like, all right, the sport is not going to be.
Don't be a Red Sox apologist.
I'm not an apologist. I'm just an Adam Ottavino apologist. No, I'm just an angry guy apologist because I have that sometimes too.
I'm sure we'll get to the rest of the series.
Yeah, so we didn't see in the rest of the series, so I guess that is a good sign.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. The Tuesday, obviously July 6th, Boston in town, Shohei on the mound. I mean, you have that drama the night before. Now you have this drama the next day. Does he rebound from his start in New York? that is the biggest question out there.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, I mean, I didn't know what to exactly to expect. If it was just, again, New York jitters, the humidity, the heat, whatever. But there, you could definitely tell there was something with them there. Now you bring them back home. You look at his ear. Do you see his ERA splits between home and away?
Mm.
Like away is like 5 point something. Home is like 1.63 or something like that. So he's back home in the friendly confines of Angel Stadium. Like I said, takes the mound and would be batting for himself, which was a big issue, or not issue, but yeah, I guess it kind of became an issue in New York because now you have to like pitch hit everybody.
This carousel.
But in the first inning, he would give up a sac fly to JD Martinez and make it 1-0 real quick. But in the bottom of the first, Fletcher would not waste any time to get his hitting streak to 20. I think it was literally the first or second pitch of the game that he saw to get on base. And the very next at bat, the pitcher, Shohei Ohtani, comes up to do this.
Tie it on his own behalf. 1-0 Boston. Ohtani sends that one to right. It bounds against the wall. Fletcher scores easily. Back-to-back doubles in the halo half of the first.
So it's always nice when you can give yourself run support like that, and run support pretty normally like that. Yeah. So he ties up the game right there with that double. Fletcher scores, tied at one, and then still in the first inning, Max Stassi, who is catching Ohtani for the first time since like the beginning of the year.
First game,
which a lot of people loved. What fans really loved was this at bat by the catcher.
Max Stassi, payoff pitch home. And Max swings and sends a ball deep to left field. Verdugo takes a look and it's gone.
So it would be 3-1 after one. It would be like that all the way to the sixth inning where JD Martinez gets an RBI single to make it 3-2. But still in that inning, late in that inning with two outs, you want to talk about like the baseball gods coming around after that home run robbery by Kiki Hernandez the night before. Juan Lagares got in on it.
0-1. Bogart sends a ball well hit out to right center field. Lagares leaps and brings it back. He saved a two-run dinger.
So, yes, he saved a two-run dinger.
Dude, Matty V was pumped.
Dude, he was all on it.
I was like listening to this game like on a Bluetooth speaker. So right. I was playing it from my phone, but I wasn't watching it. I was just hearing the audio.
Right.
Yeah, he was pumped.
He was.
But you know what? That ball wasn't even a dinger like 3 years ago.
No.
He was just pulling back a double.
You know what? Honestly, and I was thinking about this when it happened. If that's a double, like, you know it's not going to be a home, you know it's going to be a double. Do you play it off the wall instead of trying to make a play on it? Or do you think because he knows there's that line there and it could be a home run?
Good question.
Like, are
you just conceding the double?
Yeah, off the wall.
Because
you know it's going to hit the wall. And I'm sure at the time, especially off the bat, you don't know how high up on the wall it's going to be. Because if it's a certain point on that wall.
If you go for that and you miss it,
it's going to roll.
Triple.
It's going to roll. Yeah, exactly. So that's why I'm wondering. And at that point, since the home run line is so low, you have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You go for it, you miss it, home run, whatever. That's the worst case scenario. But you go for it. You get up, you do what he did, you save two runs, and again, another momentum swing for a game that, like I said, the Angels were up early 3-1.
Was that the offensive play of the year so far?
Defensive, you mean?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Defense. I know.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I don't want to be the prisoner of the moment, but I think it might just because I don't know if there's another play that saved runs in a close game like that where it's
that matters.
You give it up and now it's late. You're already in the sixth inning and now you're down by one instead of being up by one.
Yeah. Because you look at like some of these plays up the middle, like some of these double plays that have been turned.
Right.
Like, between Fletcher and Iglesias and things like that. They're probably a little bit, harder of a play or, they look a little sweeter, but
yeah, I mean,
something that is that critical.
Yeah.
But then you look at these plays that Trout's made, like, man, he was way over the wall on some of those.
Right. Like, I think part of it, too, though, is I think, like I mentioned, situations. Like, is it the first inning of a game? Like, okay, well, even if he doesn't make the catch, there's still time to catch up. Yeah. Is it making a great play in the ninth inning of a 5-run game?
Yeah. And that's a momentum.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
On the other hand.
So, like you said, with that momentum staying on the Angels side, David Fletcher would come up again and
Do you mean Fletcher DiMaggio?
Yeah, Fletcher DiMaggio, and pretty much would score on this swinging bunt.
Another curveball. That's going to be a tough play. Nobody will be able to make it. David Fletcher, 4-for-4.
So you heard it there. Caps off a 4-for-4 night by David Fletcher.
Hashtag vintage Fletch.
Hashtag vintage Fletch. So Fletcher, I mean, kind of like the MVP of this game, if you think about it also, just constantly getting on base. You look at his stat line, it's 4 hits, 4 runs, 1 RBI, 1 run. So it's like those extra things aren't – oh, there's not a ton of them, like RBIs and runs. But, I mean, just getting on and causing the pitch count to go up and making guys work a little more and stuff like that, I think it's hard to judge. But, you know, when something I was thinking too, when Upton does come back at the end – or at the back end of – after the All-Star break, he was doing so well providing power at that leadoff spot. Do you keep him there? Do you – keep Fletcher at the leadoff spot now that he's getting on base as a more traditional leadoff man, or do you try to get the pop right away?
I don't know. I think now you didn't want to take the Fletcher out of the nine hole because,
right,
you know, he's finally doing well in the nine hole, but then now he's doing well leadoff. So I would,
and
that's where you always wanted him.
Right. Traditionally.
That's like your perfect lineup.
Right.
You have Fletcher at the beginning.
Right. And then you have like Otani, Trout, Rendon, Upton
later in the mid.
Walsh, you know.
Yeah. So I think you keep him there.
Yeah.
Sure. And I think at this point, this is where I think he almost has like 9 consecutive at bats with a hit.
At this point, yeah.
Yeah. This game. And they said the record before this was, of all people,
Benji Molina.
Who Fletcher beats out, hits a ball like that, he beats it out.
Yeah,
if Benji Molina hits that ball,
he's done.
He's done. So it's pretty impressive that Benji.
I best say there has to be like a YouTube video, just
mashup of
just all of them in a row. Cause like you mentioned, they have to be hard grounders through the infield, gaps down the line, kind of stuff. Because you're right. Because if a swinging bunt like that happens to Benji, unless a guy kicks it around and the score guy is generous and says, no error. I don't know how he does that. But Otani would end up throwing a really, really good game, a game that the Angels definitely needed for him bouncing back after the New York debacle, if you will, going 7 innings, giving up 5 hits, 2 earned runs, just 4 strikeouts. And he pitched about 89 pitches. But the 4 strikeouts – I don't have a problem with, because it did look like he was able to command his stuff, and the Boston teams are good. Like, they are going to take advantage of balls close to the zone. So they put him in play, but they didn't do a lot of damage with it.
And that's honestly, at the end of the day, strikeouts are sexy, but
you want efficiency.
To let your players,
you want efficiency
play.
Yeah.
Let your defense defend you.
Well, that's what I'm saying too. Like 89 pitches, I think in previous starts, maybe gets him into the 5th inning.
Yeah, because I think in the previous start, he's trying to strike everyone out.
Right.
But which we see translates into loading the bases up in the first inning.
And then striking everyone out to get out of it, but your pitch count's at 30.
You have to, and then it's just nuts. And then you're going 3-2 every count and everything. So it's actually, let's show some maturity on the mound.
Yeah, definitely. So like I mentioned, go 7 innings, huge outing, gets the bullpen some rest and the less you have to use them, honestly, the better off you are.
Yeah.
Besides Iglesias, who's been pretty locked down, he would end up giving a home run to Hunter Renfroe to make it 5-3, which would be this final score. But for the most part, Iglesias has been shut down in that back end of the bullpen. It's just those guys getting to that point has been kind of on shaky grounds. But the Angels would take this game 5-3 to at least get one game out of the three game set in Boston, now going for the series victory the next day. In Wednesday afternoon game, Andrew Heaney on the mound again, like I said, to try to get a series victory. And in the bottom of the first, David Fletcher again wasted no time to get to his hit streak of 21 games. It doesn't even build any anticipation. Like, it seems like last couple games, first inning, first at bat, okay, I'm on. Don't even get a chance for like Sut or Matty V or Gooby to even talk about us. Like, he's already on in that.
Yeah.
That's moving on to the next game kind of deal. So he gets on as we sit right now because they do not play on Thursday. Like I mentioned, there's a 3-game set up in Seattle to finish off the first half. So he will have a 21-game hit streak on Friday in Seattle to see if he can continue that. Still in the first inning, though, Jared Walsh would come up with Derek Fletcher on base. Fletcher would score on a fielder's choice and make it 1-0. And then right after that, Phil comes in and the goose is loose.
Imaginable. He really does.
And that's a little shallow pop. It's going to fall in for an RBI hit.
So 2-0 Angels, and then both, you know, you go from one day where it's like home runs and doubles and all that stuff to where if you watch this game, or like I did, I listened to it, it was a lot of soft contact, a lot of bloopers, a lot of, you know, little things
here. Texas leaguers.
Yeah. Little, you know, you can hit the ball. It's kind of, they're saying too, you know, to a certain point where Jared Walsh had the hardest hit ball, two hardest hit balls of the day, zero. Like, can't get on base. And then there's like five other guys who are like averaging 60 miles per hour off the bat, and they're the seven hits or whatever it was at the time. So I guess it doesn't have to look sexy. It just has to get the job done when it really comes down to it. But it would say that way all the way to the fifth inning when Bobby Dalbec gets an RBI single to make it 2-1. The White Sox would tie the game in the fifth with the Sox. Would tie the game in the fifth off of Alex Verdugo bloop single. Again, another blooper. 2-2. And it's just at that point, every single run, whether it be for the Sox or the Angels, were on, like you said, Texas leaguers, bloopers, little dribblers.
Basically the farthest we could hit a ball.
On a good day.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Unless, you know, you just got me teed up and then maybe I can get it past the infield. But other than that, I don't know. But in the bottom of that inning, Shohei Ohtani would bring him right back.
Yeah, he would like that nice jog around the bases now instead of have the sprint.
Oh, he's going to get the jog around the bases. He did it again. He's a beast.
There really is no one like him. You foul it off your front foot. You foul it off your back knee. And what do? He's love to take that little casual jog. And he rockets that one out.
And that's crazy, too. That whole sequence, if you watch the game, and Gooby kind of touched on it at the end of it. He fouls the ball off his front foot, then fouls the ball off his back knee,
which is surgically repaired.
Right, exactly. So you're always thinking like, okay, just whatever it takes, just don't take any more foul balls off of anything else, and just get on base or get out. But then he hits a home run. And he's like, okay, now I can take my time.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but being a pretty pessimistic Angels fan and just knowing how things go, you have such a hot streak. Probably one of the craziest streaks any player's ever had in the history of this game.
It's like 15 home runs in 20 games.
Yeah, insane, right? It's like people that don't even know baseball know Ohtani right now.
Right.
And then when you see that, I'm like, oh, here we go. Because we're like, if he stays healthy, can he hit 60?
Right.
Can he hit 62? Is he going to hit, you know, 70-something? And then all of a sudden you see that, and you're like, oh, there he goes.
Well, it's like, you see the one off the foot. Okay, that's not bad. Okay, you know. He had the padding.
When he saw it went down
back
knee,
off the knee,
I was like, oh, dang. And he was acting. He's bending over.
That's right.
And then if you watch when Trout got hurt, it was just he was tagging and kind of, you know, and it was nothing.
Nothing.
It was
something like.
And then I see that. I'm like, oh, gosh, here we go again.
Right.
Typical Angel season. Season's over.
Well, that's something that, too, where I think both Rendon and Upton had missed time for earlier this year with the ball off the knee, like a foul ball off the knee. And you said, right, like, oh, my God. And then you see him, if you watch the highlight on our YouTube feed, you see him kind of, like you said, like limping around, like using, like an old man with the bat, using the bat as a cane. And you're just thinking like, oh, just get out of this at bat healthy. And then he does that. And he hits a home run.
A bomb, because like Matty V said, he's a beast.
Yeah, and beast with that bone. Home run, makes it 32, which also gives him the sole lead for home runs in a season by a Japanese player passing Godzilla.
Yeah, former Angel.
Former Angel, former Yankee.
When I think of Matsui, I always think of the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But they're talking, like, if you're watching the broadcast yesterday, they're talking about how, you know, Matsui's called Godzilla. Yeah. That's his nickname. But Ohtani's way bigger. So,
oh, dude, it's just so different how it is. Man. Yeah.
It's just huge. And then right afterwards, it was pretty cool to see how Matsui gave him praise.
Yeah, they come out the press, his accomplishment, and
everything. And I think that's big. And I think that's indicative of the Japanese culture.
Yeah.
Because in the U.S., I just don't think people, this individualist culture, you know, like, you know, all my accolades versus like our country.
Right.
Like Matsui's like, you did it for our country.
Right.
Kids look up to you.
You see that too with Ohtani. Cause even, you know, going back to Monday, they showed before the game, he walked over to, there's some Japanese pitchers in the bullpen for Boston. He would go over there and shake their hand as they're walking into the bullpen before the game, you know, shakes their hand, bows and stuff like that. And you just, every time they play a team, he always makes a point to sought out if they have any like Japanese born players or coaches to go and shake hands and stuff. Yeah. It's just like you mentioned before when Adovino did whatever he said, he's like, how can you say that against Ohtani? You know what I mean? Like he's such a nice guy. And then even too, again, going back to the day before when he pitched, I forgot who he sawed off. He runs over, grabs a broken bat, and takes it to the Boston guy, and it was like, oh, here, you know,
yeah.
You know, instead of just being like, ah, I got the third out, I'm gonna walk to the dugout. So, anyways, before Ohtani could even just sit down and take it all in, Jared Walsh, the All Star, comes up the bat.
Jared Walsh, the batter. Walsh follows up with a drive to center field.
So, yeah, Jared Walsh, Ohtani, back-to-back. Jared Walsh is up on the batter's eye, which has kind of been Ohtani's territory until now. I think Walsh is the only other Angel I've seen this year, at least, to hit it up there.
Honestly, just thinking back about the last, you know, I don't know, 10 years, you didn't really see a lot of people hit it up above the bushes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A few years back, you didn't see people go above that.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a little power he has there. Again, like I mentioned, Jared Walsh, the all-star. Andrew Heaney would get into the sixth inning, but was unable to get out of the sixth, going 5 1/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. And the Sox wouldn't go away easily as they continue to score, making it 4-3. But again, Jared Walsh comes up to plate and shows exactly why he's an all-star.
A 2 RBI day, and there's a swing and a high drive.
So Walsh with the 2 home run day bat flip or bat drop, as he does.
Dude, that was a sick bat flip.
Dude, it's like sometimes sometimes he drops. Like he just drops it. And just,
yeah, dude, you know what I do like? I like his confidence.
He knows when he gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sure. Jared Walsh, the big, big offensive presence in this game. Boston would score 1 in the 8th and make it 5-4 to make it close. Make you again getting to Rossell Iglesias is always seems to be the trouble, but Iglesias does come in the 9th, shuts it down. Angels do win 5-4, taking the series from Boston and splitting the overall series, but a huge home series win against Boston.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
So how do you like them apples?
Dude.
I mean, again, Baltimore, you expect it. Against Boston, you're happy because it happened kind of. You know what I mean? Like, taking 2 of 3, and honestly, what was it? You look at it, 5-1 this last homestand.
Yeah, you're happy for a few reasons. They had the best record in baseball.
Yes.
And they're Boston. And then when you look around the stadium, right next to you, there's a guy who probably never been to Boston. He's got the khaki shorts on. It's got they're khaki or they're I forgot what they call them, but cargo? They're kind of like a pink slash red. That's like Nantucket red is what they call them.
And Chris knows because he's actually been to Fenway.
Yeah, right. And then they have the floppy dad Boston hat. And they're probably in their late 20s, early 30s, and they just like Boston, my cousin from Boston. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So super annoying fans. You know, think about their run late, you know, 2000s, like all those series where it's always Boston and the Angels, Boston, the Angels, going back to 86, Boston beating the Angels in dramatic fashion. So to actually close them out. I know it's just, you know, a regular season series, but it's big time, especially at this point. This is the point of the season where you kind of have a better feeling. You're like, what are we at the break?
Right.
And to come into the break. Well, almost to the break.
I mean, we got 3 games left.
To leave Anaheim over 500 and beat Boston, take 2 out of 3. It could have been. Three out of three.
Yeah, I mean, that's
could have been three out of three. Could have swept Boston.
Couple plays here or there. It could be a totally different story. I mean, like you said, three for three. So as we stand now, again, we're recording this Thursday night. Angels still 9 games back of the division, but going the right way. They're 2 games above 500. And in the wild card, they are 4.5 games out of that last wild card spot. So really something to look out for going into the second half of the season. And kind of like I mentioned before, 3 games left up in Seattle, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Friday, you have Alex Cobb on the mound. So with his couple past performances, you really like that opportunity. Patrick Sandoval on Saturday. And then Jose Suarez hoping for a rebound outing Sunday afternoon.
So 2 out of 3?
I honestly think 2 out of 3 is realistic. Mm-hmm. I hope it's a sweep, because I hope the two games that I'm up there for, they win. And then I think Cobb will win anyways. So hopefully for a sweep, but they need at least win the two that I'm up there, because I don't want to get jumped. But hey, they're not Dodger fans, so I should be okay.
You're not getting jumped in Seattle.
Yeah, so I will be up in Seattle, boots on the ground for the Saturday game and for the Sunday game as we run into the break. We'll have a podcast Sunday night. Probably won't do a video part of it. Just I don't know exactly where I'm going to be doing the podcast. We'll kind of play that by ear. But definitely look out for a podcast Sunday night, and then
you do it like out on the outside the stadium, like on the streets or something. You
can do it. Everything. I gotta take everything. I don't want to take everything into the ball game, computer and everything. Like, nah, I'm good. I can do that at the hotel room. But I am planning also to, video a lot of the trip, the game, the surrounding area, all that stuff, my journey up to Seattle. It'll be my first time up at T-Mobile Field, so look for a video to come out probably Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday night on our YouTube page. Again, All Angels Podcast YouTube page, about the games, just the scenery, the surrounding. If you haven't been to T-Mobile Park, get in our DMs. Let us know, what do you want to see? What do you want me to go over? Do you want me to go around to the concessions? Do you want me to go to the bullpen area, get as close to the field as I can? What is it about the field where if you went, what would you want to see? So you could DM us on our Halo _ Haven Twitter or Instagram, or email us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. So that's going to wrap up this part of the podcast. When we come back, we will have the Curators Chronicles. I want to talk about Spotify Green Room. Spotify Green Room is a live audio-only sports talk platform, which is free to download and free to use. You can talk to other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. All you need to do is download the Spotify Green Room app free in the iOS or Android App Store. Create a profile, link it to your Twitter, and join. That's it. It's that easy. So go ahead and check out Spotify Green Room. You work hard and you play hard, so treat yourself and stock up for summer barbecues with Kansas City Steak Company. Visit KansasCitySteak.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD at checkout. From classic steak cuts to USDA Prime to American-style Kobe, hard-to-find specialty cuts, and more, Kansas City Steaks has everything you need to fire up the grill. They make it super easy. Each order from Kansas City Steaks is flash-frozen and delivered directly to your home. Satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Imagine relaxing in the backyard with family while enjoying steakhouse-quality meals from Kansas City Steaks. Try their butter tender filet mignon, Kansas City Strip, juicy steak burgers, all beef jumbo hot dogs, and even a complete meal combos. Bring the steakhouse to your home this summer with Kansas City Steaks. Go to KansasCitySteaks.com and get 10% off your order and free shipping with code SD. That's KansasCitySteaks.com, promo code SD. Again, that's KansasCitySteaks.com, promo code SD.
Beautiful day for a ball game, but back on this day in the great year of 2009, it was the year I was married.
Oh, well, that's good for a couple of
2009,
reasons.
2009, yeah. Right? It was probably a humid day. Today's pretty humid.
Yeah, I mean,
it's kind of a weird day. We're sitting in the garage. There's no AC going. So I don't know how
it's
beautiful
call,
it is.
It was a call roughing it.
Yeah, so, you know. It's pretty warm, but on this day in Angels history, it might be the greatest day in Angels history outside of when we won the World Series. Michael Nelson Trout was selected.
Was it today? That was the debut of him today.
Oh, it was the debut.
Debut of Mike Trout today.
I'm tripping.
You are tripping.
Disregard.
Yeah, because, yeah.
His debut.
But
going back to the greatest day.
Yeah.
It was the day that he was selected with the 25th overall pick. in the 2009 draft, which was a compensation pick for Mark Teixeira
going to the Yankees.
So getting Mark Teixeira in the first place, giving up Casey Kochman, which was a coveted, player within the organization that people really wanted to hold on to, giving that up for Teixeira becoming Trout in some way.
Yeah.
And the thing was cool, if you actually watched the draft, it was at the very beginning when MLB tried to televise the draft, kind of like the NFL in some
way. Right, yeah.
But they only had a few people in attendance, and Mike Trout was in attendance.
In the little like makeshift, maybe that's what we had to do.
It was in MLB
headquarters.
Yeah, the studio.
Yeah. I think it's a caucus. But yeah, and they had a little dugout over there. He was chilling with his
family. Studio 42.
Yeah.
But he came out. And so today's edition of the Curator's Chronicles features a Mike Trout draft day bobblehead. They only made a little over 100 of these things, made by Forever Collectibles. So if you're watching on our YouTube feed, one of the dopest bobbleheads ever made of Mike Trout. He is with his suit on, looking all suited and booted, and he has his jersey showing it proudly. He was there with his parents, but definitely one day that changed the course of franchise history.
And I
doubt that anybody will ever achieve the greatness that he showed so far. Otani's doing well right now, but 10 years in, right?
Hey, not bad, huh?
10 years in, the guy's decent. And 24 other people or teams passed on him, if you can believe that.
Right.
You know, you'd be kicking yourself for that one. Randall Grichuk, who the Angels drafted right before him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the number right before him.
Yeah, another promising player. He's had a decent career.
Yeah, still not bad. Around. I mean,
decent career, but Trout right after him. Both of these guys played in the Cal League.
Together,
Rancho, yeah. And also on Inland Empire and things like that. Well, Trout coming back to play for Inland Empire.
But. Right. And then, too, it works out great, too, because this Sunday also is the MLB draft. The first two rounds are on Sunday, and then I think the rest is Monday and Tuesday. Well, they're doing it at the All-Star game, so they make it as a big to-do. So Sunday's going to be a busy day. You got that. You got the Futures game, which you're going to have Hector Yan and birthday boy Reed Detmers in it. But hopefully by the time I record the podcast, then they will at least know who the Angels' first round draft pick is. I might hold off recording until after that.
And then you'll probably get them on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They're young. Exactly. They're fresh. Exactly. They don't know better.
They don't know better. They have nothing else.
They're happy.
But yeah, so, I mean, it worked out great. We got the debut Mike Trout today with the draft jersey, with draft weekend approaching, same weekend as All-Star weekend. Do you like that? Do you like how they are trying to bunch? I know last year they tried to do it at the College World Series and make it like a bigger event. This year they did it at the All-Star game. Or do you like it, the draft just by itself?
Like a standalone? I don't think the MLB draft obviously will ever be like the NFL draft.
No.
So you have these players that they're well-known, they're college stars. But when you're picking a kid that goes to a high school in the Midwest is your first overall, there's just not the fanfare and hype. Right. So to have it be part of a weekend is probably the best course. It's not a standalone.
Right. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see now. Hopefully they'll have some of these players in person again and everything's, seemingly back to normal. So, so big weekend for the Angels, not only up in Seattle, but also with the draft coming up Sunday. I believe it's on ESPN, but I'll hold off the recording of the podcast Sunday until after at least the first round pick of the Angels, and we can at least Google him real quick and figure out who he is and what he does, and hopefully like an ETA or something like that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Having three players represented this year. I mean,
yeah,
it's been a little while. I think it was the year. I think it was like CJ Wilson,
probably Albert and Trout,
and one other guy. We haven't had it for a while. Having a guy in the Derby.
It's gonna be a busy weekend.
It's gonna be exciting.
And well, I will talk about the Derby next, but that is another edition of the Curator's Chronicles. Batter up. We're taking the afternoon off. It's a beautiful day for a ball game. For a ball game today. So like Chris mentioned, Derby's coming up Monday. And this will be, I'll talk about a little bit on Sunday, but this will probably be Chris's last appearance before the Derby. And the Derby bracket has now been officially set. for the festivities. So you got in the first round, you got Otani versus Juan Soto, Salvador Perez versus Pete Alonso. On the other side of the bracket, you have Joey Gallo versus Trevor Story, Matt Olson versus Trey Mancini. So, Chris, I'm going to ask you this. Obviously, I think Shohei is easily the favorite of this, but if you had to pick one guy on the opposite side of the bracket, who would you pick to face him in the finals?
Joey Gallo.
You think Joey Gallo?
I mean, it'd be the coolest as far as guys that can, you know,
mash. Right.
Gallo's your guy, but it's always like the unique thing about a derby is it's not always not the guy that could hit the ball the farthest. It's a guy that's consistent. And like we saw that one of the greatest derbies I've ever watched. I was at a hotel in San Antonio, but it was Todd Frazier.
The Todd Father.
Yeah. Todd Frazier is not your, you know, prototypical home run hitter, but he came back and just put on the show. It was just such a
well, too, especially with the way the format is now, it's like you're technically not supposed to throw the next ball until the last one lands. So in my head, I'm like, well, if Otani and Gallo are hitting these huge monster bombs, yeah, it's going to take them a little while before they can actually get the next pitch. And you know,
valuable time we're losing.
Exactly. It's like if you can get a guy that can just go line drive, and just, you know, maybe not be the sexiest as far as distance, but get it over. Mm-hmm. And just kind of rapid fire it, that might give Otani some trouble. And like,
but then Otani does have exit velo of like 100 and like, you know,
yeah,
50 million.
But when the launch angle is like, you know, 40, it's going to be up and going to drift forever. But yeah, I like Joey Gallo. Out of all the names here, Otani included, who do you think hits the furthest home run?
At Coors. It's either him or Gallo.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, I know it just sounds like the easy answer, right, but it really, truly is.
Okay, let's put it.
I mean, we know Otani hit BP at Coors a few years back, yeah, and people were just like tripping on it. He was hitting ridiculous balls of like third deck.
Furthest hit ball at the Derby will be
479 feet.
You think that's it? I think.
You think 500?
I think Otani's already hit a 470 something ball this year in the game.
Okay.
I'm like,
Coors, yeah. Do you remember it was like 2 years ago where in BP at Angel Stadium he hit the screen and right?
That's what I'm saying. That
like
that's more than four whatever.
That's like 600 feet.
Honestly.
Well, not really, but it's like, honestly, like 520 or something.
I honestly I was talking to someone earlier and I want to give him a shout out. Angel's Top Plays on Instagram, and we were kind of having this conversation, and he told me that when Judge, I think it was in San Diego, I can't remember the year exactly, let me see if I can look it up, but he was talking about when Judge was in a home run derby, and I forgot what year he said it was in as I try to pull it up. He said in 2017 when they were in Miami, Judge hit one 513.
Okay, well, I take back my 479 prediction.
What's your new prediction then?
501.
501, Bob.
501, lock it in.
Now, I think honestly, like 550 might be the under over.
Sure.
550 might be the under for Gallo and Otani and Coors. 550 is like probably, you know, 513 in a regular stadium, regular kind of circumstances, but at Coors, elevation, regular ball, not with the humidor, none of that stuff. 550 might be the under over.
This just in, Otani has not taken batting practice
that,
all year.
That is crazy. And I was going to talk about that too. Do you believe that? Some people were
they say that he takes cage work.
Uh huh.
I mean, obviously, you're not going to see how far the ball goes.
But that's but more just for like kind of warming up and stuff like
that. Yeah, and everyone does cage work. They do it within the game. If you ever sat down below in the bougie seats, you know, below the field, you can go back there and watch cage work exactly. In the game. But it's not the same as BP and, you know, getting to watch how far your ball goes and all that. So it's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, I believe it because with everything going on with Otani and his hype,
the mania,
like especially when he's on the road, they do BP second, the Angels do, which I'm really looking forward to when I'm going up to Seattle. You would think anyone would have a video of him taking BP on the road and post it all over the place. Cause same thing, you would see him hit bombs in BP in years past, just absolutely uncorking it. But with the workload he has this year, it doesn't surprise me at all that he's not taking regular BP, just because it's like, he's definitely not going to do it the day he pitches.
Yeah, you don't want to waste your best swings in BP,
Exactly.
That's what Mo Vaughn said. He's like,
what's that?
Save for the game.
Exactly. So
practice what's practice.
That's crazy. I'm so looking forward to this home run derby. So looking forward to it. So
who, I guess on the flip side, who would you have liked to have seen? If you had to have the best of the best top guys, and you brought up Aaron Judge, Tatis,
Vlad Jr. I would love to see Vlad Jr. and Ohtani like on opposite sides of the bracket, so they could meet up at in the finals. But I mean, if you were to give me the who's of who, and regardless of injury, it would be like Ohtani, Vlad Jr., Tatis Jr., Acuna Jr.
Yeah.
Trevor Story's cool because I don't mind like the
hometown. You gotta have the hometown guy,
which is cool. But Judge
Stanton.
Just dudes that hit Gallo. Matt Olson on here too in it. I don't mind it. He has a little bit of pop too. But I guess the big ones I would want, like the top four, would be Ohtani, Vlad Jr., Tatis Jr., and then probably like either Judge or Acuna Jr.
And then like a 50-year-old King Griffey Jr.
Dude, what if they had like a senior division?
Dude, King Griffey's still winning.
Dude, I'm gonna wear
my old timers game. I used to have the old timers game.
Right.
I'm
gonna wear my hat backwards all weekend just for Junior.
Okay.
I'm gonna do it. And then if you're watching on
that little swing man.
There you go. On our YouTube page, I do have the All-Star hat secured. Gonna make its way up to Seattle. And we talked about this a little bit on the past podcast, and we're gonna wrap up pretty quick, but now that you've seen it in person, now that I've seen it in person, thoughts?
It's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, same with me. I don't mind it.
You're gonna buy it no matter what.
I was, but the one thing I was very pleasantly surprised, and if you bought All-Star hats in the past, or even they do it now with the spring training hats, the patch of the logo on the side is usually like a press-on plastic logo. It's not, it feels, I don't know, it's not that it feels cheap, but it's just, there's something about it being stitched into the hat that's, to me, makes a world of difference. And that's what they kind of went back to in this All-Star hat, where the logo is actually, and again, on camera and on photos, I don't know if you get that. I didn't get that kind of feel, but in person, it is stitched in, and I do like that a lot more than like the pressed on.
Daniel secretly works for New Era.
I should have bought stock in him.
And he's like an influencer or something.
I should. New Era, hit me up. I will pimp anything. Kanan Sunglasses, shout out. Thank you very much. So that's kind of like the All-Star rundown. Obviously, I'll get a little bit more into it on my side when I do the podcast Sunday. But one thing, too, I want to talk to Chris about, because the next time he will be on, this day will have already passed. And obviously, July 12th is coming up fairly quickly. July 12th, 2 years ago, against Seattle, kind of works all out. The Tyler Skaggs no-hitter. So real quick, and like I said, I'll get into my side of it on Sunday, because it will be literally right around the corner when I record it. But Chris won't be on then. So what are some of your memories about going to the game, when you're in the game, and then kind of now looking back at it two years later?
Well, actually, before just a few weeks ago, I hadn't been to an Angels game since that game. So it was just my last memory of the stadium to get back there. I only went to a few games that year. I don't know what the heck was going on.
Not a real fan.
Yeah, not a real fan, not a true fan. So we get to we go to the game. John and I go out there. We made some bunch of Tyler Skaggs buttons. We made like a pennant, and we placed it at the memorial. That was just like a really, after the game, we went out there and it was just a really somber experience. But throughout the game, we never sat down, I don't think.
Me and Corny did, because we were already inside before you guys. But once we met up with you, we were walking around.
We were in that left field slash kind of center field gap concourse.
By the
and
rocks,
just kind of hanging out, meeting people, talking to people. And then the game was progressing. It started off with just like an incredible
home run
montage of, the
video. Oh, yeah, the videos.
The video was
Debbie's
just,
out.
If you didn't cry, then there's something wrong with
Debbie
you.
Debbie and Carly, and then throwing obviously
out the pitch, and then everybody wearing 45.
It was just
one of these incredible moments. And so if it was just that, the game would have been just one of the top games I've ever been to. But then the game progressed, got deeper, started off with the opener.
Yeah.
Taylor Cole. Yeah, very strange, approach. But then deep in the game, it was like, I think I forgot who looked over and they're like,
I think it was me.
Yeah, you guys were like, it's like a no hitter.
We didn't say that. We just kind of like nudged each other, yeah. And I was like, hey, kind of look over there and point to the scoreboard. And then me, you, and Johnny, of course, picked it up real quick. Like, oh, yeah. My wife said, what happened? What's going on? What happened? What I missed? Like, I can't say it. Just, you got to figure it out on your own. And then she saw it. I was like, oh, yeah. And I think this was like the seventh inning.
Yeah. And then like, you're just so in tune. And then to be there at a no hitter, even though it was like an opener and stuff like that.
Yeah. But still, there's so much more behind it, though.
And then on a day like that, and then placing the jerseys on the mound, it was like this incredible kind of high, but it was also extreme sadness.
Right.
But taking everything out to the memorial afterwards, and then just, oh man, it was just one of those moments.
Yeah, it was definitely something that I'll remember forever. And I'm sure you feel the same way, because not only, like you mentioned, that was your last game of that season, the last game, obviously, until I think, what game did we go to? Which game did we go see? We went to, it's a couple weeks ago. I know they won.
Tigers game.
Yeah, the Saturday Tigers game. But, that would always be remembered, not only for that no-hitter, but also because it was the last game that all of us ended up going to the games. Obviously, me and my wife ended up going to a few more games after that season. Chris already said that was it for that season. I think Johnny actually went to one or two games, too, that same year. But, yeah, it was the last time we all went to a game, and it's something that even now, look back on it, it's still pretty surreal that was the last game we saw together. A combined no-hitter, a no-hitter, nonetheless, on a day like that, with the mindset going into the game of, I just hope they play well with, the whole memorial thing going on. Like, let's just play well. Let's just play well and see what happens. And to get a no-hitter and against a AOS team, too, is pretty special. And, it would be nice to get another no-hitter up there in Seattle this weekend against a team that's been no-hit twice so far this year. So,
okay,
who knows? Stranger things have happened. More no-hitters happen nowadays than ever, with a seven-inning, the Rays seven-inning combined no-hitter.
Sticky stuff
no more. So there's that. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the All Angels Podcast. Again, you can always reach out to us on our Instagram, on our Twitter, Halo_Haven, or email us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Definitely go subscribe to the YouTube page, where you can see past podcast episodes, past interviews. Like I said, I'm going to put a little video together with my time up in Seattle this weekend. I'll post it on there next week for sure. Subscribe, send alerts for that. You get alerts when we're doing our podcast live, if you will. Love to interact with you guys during the podcast, have the little comments pop up and all that stuff. So definitely check it out. And if you're on iOS, the Apple Podcast, definitely leave a rate and review, 5 stars. Tell us what you like. Even if it's just good job, we'll take it. It helps us spread the word a little easier for other Angel fans looking for the right Angel podcast for them going into the second half. And I think the second half is going to be really special for the Angels, with everyone coming back. You're talking about Upton, Rendon, Trout. Those three guys can definitely put up some numbers in the second half, and really looking forward to it. So that's going to be it for this episode of the All Angels Podcast. I am Dan Garcia.
I'm the curator.
And you just listened to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.